If you're allowing your circumstances to get you down and to not see them through the lens of what Christ is doing, yes, we do grieve over things, but we can rejoice in the midst of that, knowing what Jesus is doing and knowing what he's done for us. But if we have the wrong attitudes, we are vulnerable to those who would come alongside in the body of Christ and steer you in a direction that is wrong.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Greg, today we begin a three-part study on recognizing and avoiding false teachers. Tell us what we can expect over these next few days.
You know, Dave, most Christians today sadly are not equipped to identify false teachers. And to be honest with you, many Christians do not know the Word of God well enough so that when a false teacher comes on the scene, they have no method or way of verifying what they're hearing, if it's biblical or not. They haven't had their senses trained to discern good and evil. And so for the next three broadcasts, we'll talk about how to protect ourselves from false teachers and how to recognize these men and women who distort the gospel. It's a really important subject, and I hope you'll make plans to listen to it each day. If you have your Bible handy, turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, what do you think of when you think of something that is fake or false? We got a lot of talk about fake news, things like that, right? We have a lot of talk about that these days in our culture. You think about things that are false. When I was in aviation, there were bulletins that would come out for parts that were counterfeits that would be produced, and the quality would be that which would cause people at risk for an accident. Things that are false. You think about things that are fake or false. They're not the genuine article. They're not the real thing. And within that, we recognize that those who purvey those fake or false things are those who are in it for themselves. They don't care about the people that are hurt by it. They don't care about that. And that's just in our world, right? You see that day in and day out. But we have the same thing within the Word of God. We have warnings within the Word about that which would be false, that which would be fake. And today we're going to see that. We're going to see how we can keep from being ensnared by false teaching. We're moving along in our study of the book of Philippians. And the Apostle Paul is now going to give some warnings in the context of what he has shared with them already. Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to read them, and then we'll get started, and I'll share a little context. Philippians 3, verses 1 through 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. And from that point on, the Apostle Paul will give his own testimony. If anyone could put confidence, he could have before he came to Christ. And he shares the confidence he has, but then how that was all rubbish and worthless in view of knowing Christ. And so today we're going to look at a warning from the Apostle Paul, how we cannot be ensnared by that which is false. And I think the first thing we're going to see is that we need to have the right attitude or we are vulnerable, and then we need to heed the warnings. Look at our passage. It starts out, finally, my brethren, chapter 3, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. He says, finally, my brethren, and if you've read through the book of Philippians, you'll say, wait a second, why is he saying finally? This isn't the end of the book. Well, in a sense, in the Greek here, it means for as to the rest. I've shared some things with you, and I have some more things to share with you, in a sense. As to the rest of the things I need to share. And notice what he says. He says, as to the rest, or finally, my brethren. My brethren. These Gentile Philippians were Paul's brothers and sisters in Christ. We know, as he talks about brethren, the reality that they were earlier called by him saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. You see, when you trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are delivered from darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son. You are placed into the family of God. You are holy by position. You are a saint by position, by the righteousness that is in Jesus Christ. And see, he's writing to his brothers and sisters. Now, Paul says, as to the rest. Well, what have we seen so far in the book of Philippians? We've seen the apostle Paul has revealed in this letter about 10 years after the founding of this church that he is so thankful for them. He is so thankful for God's work in their lives. And he is confident that God will complete that work that he had started. And he shared his attitude and his circumstances that although he is in prison 24/7, chained to a Roman guard, about to go before Caesar, not totally knowing what's going to happen to him, possibly being executed, he seems to sense in the Lord that that's not going to happen. He says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I'm going to stay on, he shares with the Philippians, it's for your benefit, Philippians. That's what he shares. And we see the Christ-like attitude of the Apostle Paul. And that within everything, he desired that Christ would be magnified in everything, that he would be glorified in everything. And then the Apostle Paul addressed the Philippian circumstances. They were experiencing some opposition. They were to stand firm. They were to strive together. They were not to be alarmed by their opposition, which is a sign to the opposition they're on their way to destruction, but to those who are in Christ, the Philippians, that they're on their way to glory. And then we saw in chapter 2 that they were to have the right attitude, the right mindset. Isn't attitude everything? You think of attitude, it's your mindset. It's how you think. It's how you respond to things. It's what you think when things happen to you. They're to have the right attitude. They're to have the mind of Christ. They were to be united, humble. They're to be like Jesus Christ. They were to see one another as more important than themselves. They were to scope out ways to do so. And then Paul gave the perfect example of what we are to have. We're to have the mind of Christ. He says, have this attitude, or literally mind, which was in Christ Jesus. Think like Jesus Christ thought when he was in his flesh. When he came, he didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, becoming a bondservant. He became a servant, and he was humble to the point of death, even death on a cross. He obeyed, serving the Father for our benefit. He saw us as more important than himself. Have this mind, which was in Christ Jesus, and serve your brothers and sisters in the context of relying and obeying on the Father who is in heaven. We see that. And within that, we saw the first commands, the real commands that come after the exaltation of Christ. Because of what he had done, he was exalted. That at his name, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. And that we are to thus work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Because God is at work in us. We're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And that reality that we are to be humble and respectful and honoring and fearing the Lord, what God is doing in us, he is working in us this tremendous reality of the life of Christ, and we are to work that out in the context, as we saw, of obedience. And then we saw the first command after that, that we are to do all things without grumbling and complaining, without complaining and arguing. That we would be lights, we would be those who shine, in a sense, and we do shine in this dark, sinful world. And that Paul himself shared that they would hold fast to the word so that he would not have to see in the day of Christ that all that work in the word had been in vain in their lives. And so with that, we came to then some examples, the example of the apostle Paul. We came to the example also of Timothy. And last week we saw the example of Epaphroditus. Men in different giftings and different positions and different circumstances who all reflect the mindset of Jesus Christ. Examples for us to follow. And it's after these examples we come to chapter 3, where he now shares a warning for believers in Philippi, and by virtue of the scripture being inspired and profitable for us, a warning for us. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. That's the first command. And he's going to go on and say, to write the same things, again, is no trouble for me, and it is a safeguard for you. And we're going to see he's talking about false teachers, false brethren, those who are dangerous, those who introduce things that are dangerous to your faith in Jesus Christ. And he's going to warn us about that because they're there. Where there's the truth, there's false things. We see that in all areas of life, but especially in terms of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins by, interestingly enough, saying, rejoice in the Lord. You see, because if you don't have the right attitude, if you're allowing your circumstances to get you down, in a sense, to not see them through the lens of what Christ is doing, yes, we do grieve over things. We're not phony, false joy people. But we can rejoice in the midst of that, knowing what Jesus is doing. Knowing what he's doing and knowing what he's done for us. But if we have the wrong attitudes, we are vulnerable to those who would come alongside in the body of Christ and steer you in a direction that is wrong, that would fulfill your needs in the flesh, in a sense, rather than what you really need, which is walking more closely with Jesus Christ, pressing towards that goal. So we have the command, rejoice in the Lord here. It's a command for believers. For believers, rejoice in the Lord. And you say, we're commanded to rejoice. How can I do that? I don't feel like rejoicing. I feel like crying or being upset, right? How can I rejoice in the Lord? Sometimes it's hard to rejoice in the Lord. But here we're going to see that when we renew our hearts and minds, no matter what circumstances in, we can find joy in the Lord. Even if we're grieving over situations, grieving over trouble. You know, the Lord Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. There's trouble because of sin in this life. But we can have joy, as we'll see also. And we are commanded to rejoice, as we see, in the Lord. Later on, he's going to say in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, with that in mind, what is biblical joy? What is biblical rejoicing? You know, the world understands happiness. Things go right, happy, 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 right? Things go bad, complain, 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 right? But for us, joy is different. Joy is different. What is biblical joy? I want to share some passages in the Psalms about biblical joy. Turn to Psalm 16, verse 11. The psalmist writes in Psalm 16, 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You don't need to turn there, but Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Look back a little bit in Psalm chapter 5, verse 11. Notice who are told to rejoice. Notice who are told to be glad. Notice what he says here, Psalm 5, 11. But let all who take refuge in thee be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and mayest thou shelter them, that those who love thy name may exult in thee. For it is thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Lord, thou dost surround him with favor as a shield. Take refuge in the Lord. Let everyone who takes refuge in him to trust in him. He's our refuge and strength. Rejoice in him. Be glad in him. Sing for joy. What about Psalm 32? Turn there. We're going to see that it's the forgiveness of sins that brings joy. Psalm 32, a psalm of David, a Maskil. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man in whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, whose spirit there is no deceit. You're not fooling yourself. You've been forgiven. You are blessed if you are forgiven in Jesus Christ. When he's not counting your sins on the slate for judgment, you are so blessed. We are blessed. And then look down a little farther in verse 10. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord. Don't say circumstances. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. When you start to realize how sinful we are and what Jesus Christ did for us, it brings joy. That we're forgiven. That when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. That we're instantly forgiven. We are forgiven in Christ. All the wretched thoughts, all our sinfulness, forgiven because of what Jesus did for us. That brings joy. Look at Psalm 43, verse 3. We see that that joy comes in the context of the Lord himself. Psalm 43, verse 3. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill. And to thy dwelling places, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I shall praise thee, O God, my God. Tremendous reality. To God my exceeding joy. Psalm 71. Turn to Psalm 71, 23. My lips will shout for joy, and I will sing praises to thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come and let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The reality is joy comes from a right relationship with the living God. Joy comes from a right relationship. Joy is summed up in the person of Christ and the things that he has done for us. Summed up in the person of Christ and the things he has done for us. You see, and when you realize what God has done for you, how he's forgiven us in Jesus Christ, it should bring joy to you. You should shout for joy, praise him, rejoice in the Lord. But guess what steals our joy? Well, it doesn't steal our joy. We actually steal it ourselves. It's sin, right? When we're sinning, when we're not obeying the Lord, is there joy? No, there isn't. One pastor writes, now he again refers to that which is so much upon his heart. He'd have the saints rejoicing in the Lord. Joy and holiness is inseparable. A holy Christian is able to rejoice even when passing through the deepest afflictions, but a believer who through unwatchfulness has permitted himself to fall into unholy ways loses the joy of the Lord immediately, which is his strength for those and the strength for those who walk in communion with him. You see, if we're not joyful, if we're not focused on Christ and what he's doing, we are vulnerable to false teaching. We're vulnerable to those who would package, as we will see, a relationship with Jesus in a way that is not true, in a way that feeds into the very thing that you need to have changed in your life. So then, first of all, we are to keep on rejoicing. Now, joy is like a spiritual thermometer. And again, we can be absolutely grieving over things. We can have all sorts of difficult things in our lives. And as believers, we do. But within that, we are told here and we are commanded to rejoice in the Lord. And I want to ask you, are you obeying that command? Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Not in your circumstances. Are you rejoicing in the Lord and what he's done? What he's done for you? Are you rejoicing in the Lord? If not, you're vulnerable. Well, not only are we to be rejoicing in the Lord, we are also to heed the repeated warnings. Look at our passage again. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things, again, is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Paul says to write the same things, the implications, he has written them before. These are the same things that he has warned about before. To write the same things is no trouble, or literally no effort for me to write them again. It's no trouble. You see, Paul was a faithful, godly shepherd who was concerned for those who were at spiritual risk. And he says, it is no bother, no trouble for me to write these things again. And he says, literally, it is a safeguard for you. That term safeguard speaks of that which is firm, that which cannot be thrown down, that which is immovable. It's used in parallel in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, with the term anchor. An anchor, our hope in Christ is an anchor, both sure, solid, steadfast. He says it's a steadfast, safe warning for you. It's a safeguard. For me to warn you is to protect you, and it's no trouble to do so. Folks, it's no trouble to do so. And I want to ask you, when's the last time you heard of those warnings? A lot of churches these days don't want to warn you about those things. They don't want to be faithful to the word. They want to sell you a package of something that is very enjoyable for you, rather than warn you about the difficulties that are going to come your way if you really are following Christ. So no, he says here, it is a safeguard for you. So what is this that he's going to talk about? What are the threats and dangers that the Philippians were facing? We're going to see them in a moment. But what were these things that he needs to warn them about? Well, most likely they were the Judaizers. They were those who had claimed to have come to faith in Jesus Christ, and yet they were attaching works to their relationship, quote unquote, with the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were those who would say, yes, we've come to Jesus Christ. We're following the Lord Jesus Christ. But they would attach Old Testament shadows And so you had to do these things to be right before the Lord. They would twist the word of God, as we will see. They would mutilate, as we will see. There were those who would say that you need to, back at this time, to be circumcised, whatever it might be, if you're men. But they would not only physically devastate, they would spiritually devastate. Now you say, that's not a danger to the Philippians, right? Because they've already been saved. Well, the reality is, although they brought a false gospel, they also brought a threat to one's sanctification, you see? Because God uses His Word to bring us into the kingdom. He reveals the truth about Jesus Christ. We are born again through the living and abiding Word of God. And then He uses it to grow us in respect to salvation. And when people twist that, lessen that, or manipulate the Word, it is a threat to our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the most important thing there is our walk with Jesus Christ. And therefore, this is the most important thing to be warned about. And Paul says, it is no trouble for me, and it is a safeguard for you. Rejoice in the Lord, and for me to warn you, it's no big deal. But it's a safeguard for you. You see, we have the same threats right now, just repackaged. We don't have former Jews walking around telling us we need to get circumcised, whatever that might be, or do those things. Well, there are some messianic churches that are not good. I'll tell you right now, they fall into this. They say, yes, we follow Jesus Christ, but then they add all the works of the law. Get away from them, as we're going to see. But there's other things that we are in danger of. Turn to Colossians chapter 2 for a moment. Colossians chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I want to read something that the Apostle Paul shared with the Ephesian elders. This is in Acts chapter. Actually, I want to keep your finger in Colossians, but also turn to Acts chapter 20. I want to share this passage. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And the Apostle Paul is sharing his last words with the Ephesian elders, the leaders of the Ephesian church. And he says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. I know after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves," that's the leadership there probably, "men will arise speaking perverse things." And the reason why? "To draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears." The Apostle Paul warned them over and over about it. And yet for us, we don't have maybe these Judaizers. What are the things we need to watch out for? Well, the scripture is just as applicable to us today as it was back then.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, you talked about the importance of joy in our lives and that our joy in Christ helps insulate us from being drawn away by false teachers. My question for you is this. Are you suggesting that we just put on a happy face all the time, no matter what life throws at us?
Dave, I'm not suggesting that at all. That would really not be a genuine manifestation of joy. You see, true joy comes not from putting on a happy face. True joy is a manifestation of a right relationship with the living God. It's a fruit of His Spirit. And by the way, if you're not rejoicing in Christ, just that fact makes you a target for false teachers. And folks, there are bad guys out there. There are dangerous threats to our faith in Christ, yet God is a gracious God who continually warns us of these threats, and that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing in our passage. Indeed, in our next broadcast, we'll talk more about the subject of true joy and how we can protect ourselves from being ensnared by false teachers. I hope you'll join us then.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.